All right. I took a kind of little church over there at Crab Orchard, Kentucky. I've been there about 6 months, and they ain't run me off, but they didn't care for me leaving this morning. I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? They ain't run me off, but they didn't care for me being gone. I don't understand. And I've been preaching through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights. And so we'll turn to the book of Acts chapter 4 this morning. And let me say that before we get there that if people want a picture of what we will say, well, are we doing this right? Then you go back to the book of the Acts. This is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. This is a transition. You all understand that, I know. And so here we come to the book of Acts chapter 4 this morning in this little lesson. I hope to be a help to you. Now, I spent over there, I spent 3 weeks on verse 11, but I'm not going to do that here this morning. But let me begin reading in verse 5. Now, you all understand, those of you that have your Bibles, you understand here that the Lord is ascended in chapter 1. You understand that in chapters 2 and 3 that they had been some great work started. Chapter 3, you find that Peter and John went into the temple and healed the man there that had been laid at the beautiful gate there for 40 years. He was healed. And so then you come to chapter 4 here, and you find that, just condense this a little bit, they had been the persecution, maybe a little bit of persecution against them. And we'll pick up a reading here in verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set him in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want to stop reading there. We're going to use the rest of this text this morning, but I wanted to read there to bring you up to speed to where we're going. Now, look with me back here in this text, and you'll begin to see some lay a little groundwork of this. And you'll see that Peter was, verse 8, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, you rulers and people and elders of Israel. So you see Peter was had some power and authority here. Now look with me in verses from verse 8 to verse 12, Peter gives them a little short message there. And he comes to verse 13. Now here's where we're going to begin our lesson. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We're going to... Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we sure do love you, and we do desire to God, Lord, to teach this lesson. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you would bring to my mind and memory these things that we've studied. Make it afresh to us and help somebody here this morning. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Now, I would say here that in verse 13 that these Caiaphas and Annas and the high priest, the first thing that they saw in verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. Let me say this morning that the world's conception or perception of a Christian is that you're ignorant. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians over there that God has used the base things of the world to confound the wise. You can talk, when you talk of the things of Christ or Christianity or the Bible, out here in the world you're perceived as ignorant. And you're perceived as foolish. I remember that someone said a few years ago, maybe running for election, that there was something wrong with, or made the, if you will, the connection there that someone was ignorant because they had a Bible or a gun. I got both, so I got a double shot of it. What I'm telling you is that this morning that the whole world's perception of Bible believers is that we're ignorant. But now look with me here. The Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled at them. Let me say this morning that first of all, that Peter and John here had some knowledge of what they was talking about. I don't know how many of you all are Bible readers, Bible studiers, or how much you use your Bible. In our day and age, not very many people do. They're not don't have a no time set to study their Bible, and they're, to be honest with you, I'm not being mean to nobody, but there's no but there's a lot of ignorance concerning your Bible. The average person. Now, you all probably may not be average, but I'm going to say this: that the average person picks up their Bible on a Sunday morning. They take it to church and they follow whatever the text the preacher reads. They read that along with him, and that's just about the end of it. There's no Bible reading at home. I mean, let's face the fact that we've got a cell phone in our hand 24/7. You can't go to the bathroom without your cell phone. God forbid that you get caught trying to take a shower and someone call you and you miss something as important as a phone call. So you got your cell phone with you 24/7. You got your job that you work at. You got everything else that goes on in your life. And people really just ain't got time for the Bible. And so you don't know nothing about your Bible. And people don't know. Listen, someone lost in your family and you out here needing to win somebody to the Lord, or you approach a question on the street corner, and you will if you mention the Bible, or anybody to anybody on the street corner, you're going to face some questions. And a lot of those questions will come from some charismatic or some holy roller or some Church of Christ or some off-brand something that is completely opposite to what you believe, but yet you're ignorant of your Bible and you have nothing to say to them. The reason you don't have nothing to say to them is because you don't know nothing about your Bible. Is that right? And you're left looking like a fool standing in front of them. Now listen, let me say this to every one of you here, that you need to study your Bible and you need to get you 25 or 30 verses on being saved. Your Bible's full of them. Amen. You need to get you 25 or 30 verses on eternal security. You need to get you 25 or 30 verses on the second coming of the Lord or the rapture. Why? Because you don't need to go around ignorant through the world, and when you run into people, you need to have something to say to them if you're going to speak about the Bible. Isn't that right? Peter and John here had knowledge of what they was talking about. They could answer the question with some authority to it. They could say, hey, this is the way it is. This man is standing here today because of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he said he was. This was the stone that was set in all of you builders. Become the head of the corner. This is a foundation on what we believe here. And they knew that. Why? Because they had knowledge of that. Then let me say that they had took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Boy, that would help us all today. Boy, I've got to hurry here. I'll never have time, Melvin. Let me say that there's three parts of this took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let me say, first of all, that there was the language that they used. Turn with me in your Bible. This is Sunday school. John chapter 7. Now, this was a man by the name of Nicodemus. You remember him from John chapter 3. Nicodemus had got saved, no doubt. He was like a lot of us. He was a quiet Christian. Now, to condense this, look with me in verse 46. The officers answered and said, never man spake like this man. So they had a different language than anybody else. Christ had a different language. The Lord had a different language to him and about him. And when you talk to the Lord, he had a different language. Do you know something? I believe this morning that without a doubt that our language should give us away. You remember Peter, the night that the Lord was took by Caiaphas and the high priest there. You remember the Bible said that your speech betrayeth you that you're one of them. I wish this morning that our speech as Christians would betray us as what we are. You see, there's a visible evidence of who that they said he was. You know, it's amazing to me that a Christian today can go from here and just a few steps down to the parking lot and their entire language changes. Ain't that right? I kind of believe that our conversation this morning, me and Melvin can get around each other and we can work on something, but it isn't long until our conversation goes to the things of God. And it betrays you who you are. People's language betrays who that they really are and what they really are. Did you know that? You get around a bunch of men out here talking and just in conversation. Christian men ought to talk about the things of God. Ain't that right? It ought to be their, that should be your natural, you should gravitate toward that, right? I believe that, don't you? If the Holy Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit, works breast to breast, that we're brothers in Christ, then we ought to have that in common, ain't that right? So then if we have that in common, then our language should be about those things, right? And because of that, now listen to me. Our language betrays us as who we are. They took knowledge of them as they had been with Jesus because their speech was about the Lord. Stay with me. Next of all, there was a visible evidence that they had been with Jesus. Boy, I don't know how much time I got. Exodus chapter 34. Had a good time teaching this at church down there. A lot better time than they did. There's a lot in this. I like his text. And look with me in verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. After the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. That, by the way, it's all right to fast. Fasting is still biblical. Not only was it biblical in your Old Testament, but it's biblical in your New Testament. It's all right to fast. Now, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. In other words, he had a glow about it. His face revealed that he had been with the Lord. And Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. I could stop there for just a minute if you'll let me. I was raised in an old-time Bible-believing Baptist church. I mean, an old-time church. They wasn't set like this. They were set two rows of pews down each side, and then over here in the corner was an amen corner. And when I was a boy, they would be on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, there would be, a lot of times there'd be 9 or 10 preachers that would come to that meeting, just come to meet. There wasn't this stupidity, jealousy stuff between preachers that there is nowadays. In other words, if Melvin was preaching, I'd go scotch him just because I love Melvin. Nowadays, if they ain't preaching, they ain't going. That's the way it is. And but what I'm telling you is that then, that whole row would be lined up with men of God. I mean, God, men of God. Now, I was a little old lost boy. We'd chew backers, smoke cigarettes, do anything that you could think of. We'd do it, and we was just mean. We're just ornery boys. You know what I'm talking about? We never run through the church house because we know if we did, we'd get beat to death. You couldn't have drugged me as a boy from my seat up around the pulpit area and back to my seat, and my mother caught me. My dad would, I look here, I would have drawn my last breath had my dad ever seen me do that. But more than that, I would never have walked up to one of those men of God and spoke to him and called him by name. Moreover, I was afraid of those men. Why? Because they had some power of God on them. But now, listen, but now people do not have the power of God on them, and why? It's because they have so much of the world on them. And we've lost that. We've lost that. Now listen, they could see visibly, I was afraid of those old men. I was lost and going to hell, and I knowed I was. But listen, I was afraid, Brother Richardson, to speak to those men. Why? Because it was power on them. Now, I'm going to go on with this. We'll get to where we're going. Now, look back in your text. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel, verse 30, Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto him Aaron, and the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in the Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak to them, he took the veil off, and when he came out, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel, that he which was commanded, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak to him. Can I tell you something this morning? And I'm tedious about saying this. But Christian men ought to look like Christian men. And Christian ladies ought to look like Christian ladies. You don't have no effect on the world when you reduce yourself to imitate the world. None of you here. You're not going to win the world by looking like the world. It's a difference. And people has no respect for someone who will compromise on the Word of God. Amen. There ought to be, listen, I got some friends that are Amish. I mean, I love them. They're mixed up doctrinally, but they're good people. They work hard. I've never in my life seen an Amish man in town when I had to run up to him and say, "Are you an Amish?" Ain't that right? I've never seen one of their wives out in town and run up to her and said, "Are you an Amish lady?" Listen, They was mixed up, don't get me wrong. But I remember when those old holiness women would come down in front of the roses there at Somerset with their beehive haircut, hairdos, and their dresses on, and you knew that they was Christian women. Is that right? And I don't mean to labor this, but I just will to while I'm here. I probably won't be back till I fix this next bathroom. What I'm getting at is this, is that you can be whatever, you can do whatever you want to do, but if you want to impress, if you want to have some influence on the world, then you need to be this morning what you say that you are. And I'll be honest with you, you can't force that on nobody. If the Holy Spirit of God needs to be in your life and convince you yourself. Now let me go on. Let me get back to where I'm going. Back to Acts chapter 4. There was a visible evidence. There was the language evidence. And there was the influence of the evidence. John chapter 12 and verse 19, the Bible says over there, that he says that the whole world is going out after him. There was the effect. Now watch here. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. In other words, they couldn't say nothing about the results. Can I tell you all this? And me and Melvin talked about it this morning. We've got an acquired Christianity in our churches today. We're all adults here. As far as I know, we're all adults. Ain't none of y'all tiny tots, so I believe I'll be on good ground. But we've got an acquired Christianity instead of a birth Christianity in America today. What's happened is this. I love kids in church. I love Sunday schools, and I love Bible schools, and I love everything else that you can go that goes along with it. So let me say that and get that out of the way. But you cannot teach a lot of little lost boys and girls morality and make them Christians. And what you cannot do, listen, we see it all the time. We see it all the time. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Brother Richard. We have missionary after missionary after missionaries come into our churches. And they come into the back door of the church. They've got mama missionary and daddy missionary and 12 missionary kids. I'm right. And from the time that they're big enough to carry behind the pulpit, they get them all up here behind the pulpit where they don't have no business. And if they can get two-year-old Emmy Lou to sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," that looks so sweet. And little Emmy Lou here at 2 years old is going to sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." She don't know nothing about Jesus. And here's little John. He's been such a good boy. He's about 9 or 10 years old. And he's been so good, and he'll have an emotional experience. Cry a few crocodile tears, and they'll say, "Well, he must have got saved." So then, Daddy calls him to preach and sends him to seminary for 4 years. Well, first, before he sends him to seminary, he makes him the youth pastor. He's turned 14 years old, now he's a youth pastor. He's going to be the youth pastor until he turns 18. And when he turns 18, they're going to send him to the cemetery, and he'll come out there, a 6-foot icicle, couldn't preach a lick, but he's got a head full of knowledge about the Bible. Never been saved, start with. So now he comes out of the seminary. Over there, now they're going to give him a church to pastor. He'll get him a church that runs about 150 on Sunday mornings. He'll get him a salary. Look here. And the whole world is deceived into thinking that it's an acquired Christianity instead of a birth Christianity. Now, I know what, listen here. I'm not being mean to you, but I'm just telling you what I believe about it. And that's to a smaller degree all through the country. Congregations are sitting full this morning of people who have never been born again of the Holy Spirit of God, and they haven't acquired knowledge of the Bible. Well, I better go on. But let me say this, back to my text, verse 14. And beholding the man, they could say nothing against what was done there. Melvin Sisson has told his testimony 100 times. I've heard him tell it. I can about tell it for him. He was young and wild and drunk and mean and rough and tough. And he got under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and God saved his soul. And he changed his life. Now he's a God-called preacher. And you go all over the country preaching the Word of God, and you cannot deny the results of the power of God in his life. Ain't that right? And you could go through this congregation this morning, you could say, if we would all do it, that you could stand up if you've ever been born again, and what you was, you're not there no more. And because you're not what you was anymore, you look different, you talk different, you act different, you do different things because you're not what you used to be, and nobody can deny the power of the Word of God. Amen. Boy, I got to hurry. Now watch this. The visible evidence. You know, the world knows the difference between counterfeit and fake. Did you know that? I was thinking of that this morning in the book of Acts over there where those men were performing those miracles, and one of them said, yeah, I said, Paul, we know, but we don't know you. You know what I mean? Some of them know the name of the Lord, and some of them know Paul, but they didn't know him. You know, the world can pretty well tell you what you are this morning. You don't have to listen. If you want to, I got to hurry. I ain't going to go there. Y'all probably want me to just leave that bathroom alone, you know. Watch this. Now, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a miracle hath been done by them is manifest to them. All them that dwell did not dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now, verse 20, look with me here. Back up to verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, but we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. Now we're going to get to where we're going. Now they've been brought before the religious crowd. They've had to give the answer to them of what happened and how it happened and all that. They didn't have nothing they could do about it, so they sent them home and told them, now you keep your mouth shut about what happened here. Is that what it said? Don't tell nobody. Don't speak no more about Jesus in nowhere. We don't want to hear nothing about Jesus anywhere. Nowhere. Keep it to yourself. Look in your text. Get back over there. I was going somewhere there a minute. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Boy, they wouldn't have fit in around here, would they? They wouldn't have fit in up where I'm at, for sure. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. This is amazing. I've been trying to figure this one out, and I can't do it for the life of me. Maybe y'all help me. We come together to have worship service. Is that right? This is called worship, ain't it? Worship. Okay, we come to worship. And so as we come to worship, we're here to worship God, right? So now, Peter and John, don't you say nothing about this, but when they come together and they say, we can't help but speak what things that we've seen and heard. Is that right? I just wonder sometimes this morning if we don't get the thing backwards. I mean, we come in, I told them folks up there where I'm preaching at, I said, I could miss Sunday and could tell you all what goes on here. I said, let me see if I got this right. I said, we're going to have two songs. I said, and we're going to have Sunday school, right? Yep. Okay, then we have Sunday school. Then 11 o'clock service. Let me see if I can guess what happened. We're going to have two more songs. We're going to call for the man that takes up the offer. He's going to come. We're going to have prayer. He's going to go over the building and gather up the money. Bring up here and sit down while we sing one more song. We're going to have prayer again. And then we're going to have some preaching and one more song. If we're real lucky, we can get out of there about 10 minutes after 12, and that's what happened. I wonder how many of you this morning come to Grace Baptist, and before you left home, you could say this is pretty well what's going to happen here today. Well, that'd be fair. You pretty well know, don't you? I mean, after you've been there four or five times, it's maybe a song, maybe a preaching, maybe this, maybe that, da 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 da. It's the same old thing, ain't that right? It's regular church. I'm so sick of regular church I could puke. I hate regular church. Let's see what regular church is. Well, what happened at regular church day? Well, we went to church. We heard some singing. We heard some preaching. Did anybody get saved? No. Anybody get baptized? No. Anybody join church? No. Anybody give a testimony? No. Anybody get any help from God? No. Anybody rededicate their life? No. Just regular church. I'm so sick of regular church I could puke. I hate it. Despise it. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I wonder sometimes if when we come through the door, now every one of you here, how many of us are here this morning? 20? Is there 20 people here? Would it be 20, Brother Richard? I wonder if among 20 people, shorty to goodness, all of you saved people, shorty to goodness, God's done something for some of you this week. Ain't God done something for any of you here this week? Has God done anything at all for any of you here this week? Was it good? Has God done anything good at all for any of you here this week? And we're having worship. Here's what we're talking about. We come to church to have worship, ain't that right? I preach the same message at my church. Look here, they didn't, so don't feel like you're all being mean to. Okay, so look. So we come to church to worship. Now God's done something for every one of you here this week, and no doubt. No doubt God has done something good for you, ain't that right? Amen. Say amen out there. Okay, look. If he's done anything for you at all, wonder what would happen if you come through the door and you sure enough appreciated what he done for you, and you come through the door before the preacher got up to have preaching or anything. What if you done? Hey, let me tell you what God done for me yesterday. Wouldn't that be different? Instead, we walk in church like we read a dill pickle. Mad at the world, don't even want to be there in the first place. And if God done anything for you at all, you sure ain't going to tell nobody. Ain't that right, Melvin? I just wonder, has God done anything for you at all? Maybe sometimes we ought to start back there at the back corner and get out of the regular mold. Let's just break the mold. Hey, we could ought to start back there at the corner maybe and go around the building and tell me, if you ain't really ashamed of it, just tell what God's done for you this week. He's done anything for you at all. Is that right? Listen, he's been better. Listen, he's been way better to me last week than I've been to him. Ain't that right? If you just told you your natural blessings, you could be here all day. Has he spiritually blessed you any way at all last week? They couldn't help but tell it, but we could sure do a good job. Now, let me hurry. And they being let go, so they went to their own company, reported all the chief priests and elders and said to them, now watch this verse, verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one or two. Somebody read that verse for me right there, verse 24. Read it out loud. Verse 24. Read that loud out there. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Read that out loud for me, some of you. Brother Richard, anybody find it? Huh. That's good. So what did they do then? They began to praise God. Now, we sure don't want to get mixed up and somebody thinks we got that the Baptist church has got anything to do with the Holy Ghost. We sure don't want the Baptist church, nobody outside of the Baptist church, to think that the Baptist church has got anything to do with the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, you're birthed into the family of God by the Holy Ghost, ain't you? You're indwelled by the Holy Ghost, ain't you? If you're Romans chapter 8 verse 1 said as many tells over there, if you have not, or as many of you are born of the Spirit of God, the whole chapter in verse 8 or chapter 8 of the book of Romans is about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God, ain't that right? Led by the Spirit of God, indwelt by Him, kept by Him, sealed by Him, ain't that right? Amen. So now you got the Holy Ghost of God inside you, leading you, guiding you. But you can't worship with him. Lord, no. What would people think if I was so concerned? And we walked in, listen, we have quenched it so hard out of our Baptist churches. We don't want, sure don't want them homeless people down there to have all the fun. Look here. And we don't want to have no fun because, look here, they, because one of them will squeal a little bit or stomp her foot. Look here, listen, we got to keep this in order now. Way too deep. I'm all right here, ain't I? And what we've done, we got it supreme and proper. Till my goodness, the Holy Ghost don't need to show up because we've got this thing without Him. Ain't that right? And God forbid that we want to have be obedient to God and have a good worship service. We've already come in and God ain't done nothing good enough for me to tell nobody else about. I might have bought a new truck, or caught a big fish, or watched a stupid ball game, or done some other foolish thing like that, and I gotta wait. I can't wait till I tell old Brother Joe this. But look here, I sure don't want to tell him nothing about what God done for me last night. Ain't that right? Now this is church. This ain't a ball game. Let's have a church. Look here. So we don't want to do that. Be sure we don't do. So now it's against the rule for Sister Mary back there to get blessed by the Lord and say, "Woo, praise God!" And we don't want her to do. Lord, what's the matter with that woman this morning? I'm telling you, right. Watch with me, verse 24. And they, when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they began to praise Him and honor Him with their voice. Now, for everybody here that's dignified, you can do this. You can worship God just as silently and quietly as you want to. You can sit there in your seat, and you can sit there and you can dab a tear every now and then if you want to, And you can worship Him as silently as you ever desire to. Nobody, listen. Matter of fact, worship comes from inside, and you can worship Him. Listen, you can worship Him, and nobody ever know what's going on for a little while. But you absolutely cannot praise Him quietly. Now, I'm not, listen, let me tell you all this. I'm not for this guy's up here with a pair of short britches on and a flat top guitar, bang, 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 bang. I'm not for that. But ain't nothing in my Bible tells me that saved people can't worship and praise. Now, then you say, preacher, I don't know about this. We've never done this before. Well, so they heard they lifted up the voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, our God, now has made the heaven and the earth and sea and all them that there is. Now look with me in verse 31, and I'll be done. Here's that praying again. Here's that old-time altars of prayer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. This is completely different than what we do. In our fundamental, independent King James believing church, ain't it? They've had the praise and worship. They've had the testimonies before. Lord, they've got this completely messed up. These disciples here, these apostles, they've completely messed this thing up. Now look here. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. My goodness, they went to church and the Holy Ghost showed up. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul, neither said in them that ought. I ain't going to go there because you know what? They'll get into your pocketbooks and it'll make every Baptist mad. What I'm coming to is this. You ought to try it sometime. You ought to try it. I went up to Durbin Spears the 10th of November. A part of that preacher fellowship of her. And they got to singing that song of, he got a good choir. They like to sing, and they sing loud before you can hear it. You know what I mean? They ain't got their head down that book like this. And we'll sing. You know what I mean? You know that old dried stuff like we got. They was riding back there and they was letting her rip. Well, don't you know the craziest thing I ever seen happen? They was singing this song about, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. And don't you know the craziest thing happened? I got to singing that along with him. And I ain't going to hell. And you know the craziest thing? Brother Melvin, they was this girl in that choir. She got tuned up, and she started actually shouting. I mean, crazy. I never seen that. Look here. She had her hands up like this, and she was shouting and thanking the Lord for saving her. Ain't that awful? Well, who would have that in a dignified church? But you know what? I tell you what. You know, I kind of liked it. You know what? I get around it every time I can get around it. Some of you that's never done it in your life, you know what you need to do this morning? Some of you that's never done it, you'll never know what it's like. Some of you women, some of you men that has never given a testimony in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to get some practice of that. You need to stand up every now and then and tell what the Lord has done for you. You need to go back and recant the time that you got saved. Go back through from the time that the Holy Ghost of God convicted you to the time you got saved and tell how good the Lord was when He saved your soul. You know what that does? That helps the person sitting beside you. That helps you. It helps the service. People that ain't, listen, people ought to loosen up this little bit this morning and enjoy going to heaven. You know that? Amen. Hey, I'm done. I know it took too long, but Brother Richard, you come and do whatever you want to do. Hey, may God bless you. Listen, you try that sometime in your life. Next time the Holy Ghost of God comes by and nudges you a little bit and says, hey, stand up and testify. Just help yourself. Here, if your preacher don't like it, he'll get right. He'll get all right. He'll get all right.